Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't know what he's going to do with the team. I just, you know, like I said, I saw what he did in a very short time with our team in the World Cup. And I remember thinking that, you know, after we were done with finals, that Ralf will definitely get NHL offers and he will be coaching in NHL soon. It took maybe a few years, two years, but I don't know if he was available or he wanted to stay in soccer for a while. But, you know, now I'm really looking forward to his time in Buffalo and how he's going to handle everything and how it's going to go, because, you know, obviously I'll be cheering for him.
Miro Chetan, what's your Chetan memory?
Did he do the phone call?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where did he get traded to after he did that? Because he wanted to get traded,
right?
Because
he
was good and the Sabres were not.
Yeah.
He was kind of good. Good enough.
Did he get traded? And who did he get traded for?
He didn't.
What happened to him?
The lockout season came, and then he signed with the Islanders.
Oh, I thought he was traded. I actually thought the Sabres got rid of him.
No.
Maybe that's why I couldn't remember.
He did not play for another team.
He was in Pittsburgh briefly, wasn't he?
He was. He played 82 games with the Sabres the season before the lockout. Lockout happened. Then he played 82 games for the Islanders and played there for 3 years.
Huh.
How many goals did he score for the Islanders in his first season? Miro Chetan, 31 years old. How many goals for the Islanders?
20.
35.
That's good. What was his best for the Sabres?
37. Okay. No, I'm sorry, 40.
He had a 40 goal.
40 goals in 1999 at age 24, Miro Chetan.
Well, he was on the Instigators yesterday talking about Ralf Krueger, because Chetan was the GM of Team Europe in 2016 World Cup of Hockey when Krueger was the head coach. If you missed the interview, it's available in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. Here are your headlines. The Warriors have moved on to the NBA Finals again, fifth straight year. No Kevin Durant, and they still swept Portland. 119-117 last night in overtime. Steph Curry and Draymond Green both had triple-doubles. Now they await the winner of the Eastern Series, Toronto and Milwaukee. The Bills are in OTAs. They're in Phase 3. Sean McDermott will meet the media later this morning out at One Bills Drive. And Sal will be on hand to cover that for us. The Bucks and Gerald McCoy have mutually parted ways. The Colts signed Chad Kelly, and Washington linebacker Reuben Foster tore an ACL at their workouts. He is out for the year. San Jose and St. Louis play tonight, Game 6 of the Western Conference Finals in the NHL playoffs. It is just after 8 o'clock for your faceoff. The Blues lead that series 3-2. Zdeno Chara practiced with the Bruins yesterday and says he will be ready for Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final. The Yankees beat Baltimore 10-7. The Jays lost to Boston 12-2. The Mets over the Nationals 5-3. But Yoenis Cespedes suffered a violent injury to his leg/foot. And no idea how long he's going to be out additionally this season. So sorry, Mets fans. Those are your headlines. 803-0550 to join us. We had been talking a little bit in the first hour about Josh Allen and what would be a good year for Josh Allen in year number two. You can let us know at 803-0550, 888-550-2550. And whatever else on your mind, you can join us with some other material too.
Can I bring you something real quickly about the Sabres from yesterday? They tweeted out their new 50th anniversary logo, right? You've seen the 50. And they sent a letter out to season ticket holders, and here's the price for this season. Here's your magnet with the logo. And yesterday, the Sabres account tweeted out a picture of it. And coming soon, Sabres 50. They've got two logos for the 50th anniversary. And they're pretty sharp, right? Pretty sharp logos. But at 11:07 yesterday, they tweeted out a picture of the 50th anniversary logo. And if you read the replies, Brian Mazurowski sent this out to everyone else on Twitter, like, the replies. All right? I'm going to read them in order for you because you'll sense a theme. The first one is a GIF of a person putting his head in a desk. The second is a Photoshopped version of the logo with royal blue. The third is a royal blue jersey. The fourth is, WTF, same colors. Mm. Next, that's not royal blue. Please God, not navy. Gonna go on a limb here. Moving back to royal blue is almost as important to the fan base as making the playoffs. You've done us all wrong. Another one. We did a lot of research, clearly not considering this isn't Royal Blue. Royal Blue, come on. y'all must not like the fans, I'm convinced. How many years have we been waiting for Royal Blue?
So the theme
not
is
not
about...
Royal Blue. Great job on not listening.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'll just keep scrolling for
it's
hours.
Something about the cross swords is what I think you're getting to. No, I'm just kidding.
Hours and
it's
hours.
Funny, when you brought it up yesterday, right? The magnet, whatever, and I was going to... I never asked you if, like, whatever you received had a different shade of blue to it.
No, it's the dark blue.
Yeah.
So here's the thing.
Can they legally change the color?
The answer to that is no, but...
Okay.
There's a reason. If I have this right, they cannot change yet. Because you can't change...
Are they bound to a certain color with the uniform maker?
It's either for 2 years or 3 years. Remember when they switched to Adidas? The league did.
Mm-hmm.
The Sabres made changes to their jerseys that year. They removed the silver piping... Had a different collar, no more silver in the armpits,
Yeah. Smaller
secondary stripes, right? This is from Matt Beauvais, WKBW, from 2017. June of 2017.
Yeah.
So in June of 2017, they made changes to their jersey. What did everybody want them to do in June of 2017? Go to Royal Blue.
Yeah.
What did they do? Take out the silver piping and the silver armpits.
Right.
So now they can't go to Royal Blue because they already made a change more recently. But... It's funny, you know, it's a small thing, but I think the replies to that are, they're so telling. Because if there's one thing that this organization right now needs a little bit of work with, I think a little bit of fan outreach, a little bit of throw a bone here.
Right.
And the fact that we're still waiting for this change, which is not guaranteed to be happening at all. I don't even know if it is going to happen. And maybe it's just the vocal minority. I don't think so. Every single thing that they put out with a color, the responses are almost unanimous.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Why don't you just do this? Just do it.
That's why I asked you if legally they can do it, because it would seem to be a very easy thing.
And
look.
Here's your comparison. It's like how the Bills were in cap jail because they chose to be in cap jail. The Sabres can't change their jersey right now because they changed it 2 years ago and didn't do it at the time, which they should have.
So
they have to wait a little longer still.
And I think as a fan, look, we've talked about this. The way to make the fan base happy is to do something that they want color-wise, logo-wise, jersey-wise. And when you're not winning, there are other ways to make fans happy. It could be freezing ticket prices. It could be a reduction in concession prices. It can be, hey, we're returning to an old jersey, whatever. There are ways that you can't guarantee winning. We all know that.
Right.
So when you're in a funk like this, if you want to, you know, it's usually teams do something about jersey color, look of uniform to try and make the fan base happy. So it seems like it would have been a no-brainer, would have been easy for them to do, and I'm surprised they never got to it, because it is, as you said, maybe the best way to phrase it is, if we're losing and everybody's frustrated, throw them a bone. Hey, we're losing, but we're going to have Royal Blue. Okay, I want you to win, but at least you're giving me jerseys that I'll enjoy watching and looking at. I don't know why they haven't done it. It seems like an easy thing to do, and as I said, everybody does it. I think it's standard procedure.
Right.
If you're having troubles and you're not winning and you want to make the fan base happy, what do you do?
But even if you are not having troubles and you are winning,
you could just do it anyway. You could go to your traditional set.
So
right.
I get that they might have to wait another year for it. They're probably going to come out with a third jersey for the anniversary, and that'll be popular, but people will be wanting to see if it's Royal Blue, and I don't think it will be, because it'll be more of a special one-off.
Yeah.
So whenever they change... Great if they do it, but it is, and it's funny. It's kind of a movement among Sabres fans, because since you can't really say, you know, not everyone can line up behind sign Jeff Skinner, because the Sabres, that's not really up to them. It's up to Jeff Skinner on some level. Yep. Or trade Rasmus Ristolainen. Like, well, all right, we don't know what you're going to get in return. The fans of the team can really unify behind one thing, and that is, yeah, really, this is up to you. So just go ahead and do this for us, because we kind of want this.
And it's not like... It's, you know, Skinner is debatable. Sure, sign him, don't sign him. Well, yeah, I want him back, but what's the term?
But
how
not
much
just
money?
That, that's, you know, not up to them.
Yeah, but even still, you'll have a difference of opinion.
But this is the only thing that is up to them, and no one else can stop them from doing it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. There's no fan base out there. There's no element of the fan base that's saying bring back the goat head, right?
No. That's not true.
Oh, really?
That is not true.
Is there an element that wants black and red again?
Yes.
Really?
As maybe the third jersey. Well, yes, there definitely
is. I have no desire to bring either of those back.
But the point isn't about what they should or shouldn't do. It's that they're in charge of this.
Yeah.
You get to pick your colors. Done.
Yeah, I don't know why they stuck with it all these years. I have no idea why, you know, whichever ownership group we're talking about, it would seem rather easy to just say, yeah, we're changing the shape. Yeah,
but they do have to, if I'm not mistaken, have to wait at least one more year. And we'll just wait with them.
Well, so then they'll make the playoffs, and then the jersey change will happen after that.
Exactly.
You know, that'll be the big thing for next year. Make the postseason, then you can worry about the jersey.
Do you remember in 06-07, do I have this right? 06-07.
You're asking me to remember something from 12 years
ago. Well, they're wearing the slugs that year. Yeah. Right? That was the introduction of the slugs.
Was that the year for
it?
Okay.
And they wore...
Who cared? They were winning.
Hold on.
People
you
were
say
angry.
Who cared.
No, I know. I cared.
Do I remember this correctly? That if they made the cup final or if they went deep enough, they were going to... They had their throwbacks as a third jersey. They did. They had those... They were royal blue. You can find a Danny Briere in a royal blue jersey.
Yep.
And they had him. And if they were going to the cup that year, if they had gone to the final, they would have been wearing that instead of the slug.
I don't remember
I'm
that.
Pretty
for sure
that they would have, that they may have petitioned to do that, or that they were, the plan was, if we get that far, don't worry, we're not going to wear the slug.
I knew
to your point that it only matters if they're losing. That was the best team the franchise has ever had.
Yeah.
And it was... All right, we won't wear these ones if we win the whole thing.
Good. Yeah. No, I know. At the time, look, when Goathead came out, people were angry. But when Slug came out, I think they were angrier than Goathead. And I didn't like the Slug jersey. I thought they were awful. I don't recall. You're probably right because your memory's better than mine. But those jerseys were hideous.
At least they wore those throwbacks on the day that they got eliminated by Ottawa in that year.
Yeah, like I said, I'll take the winning. I'll handle the. What was the turd burger jersey?
That was the Steve Ott reveal. That was two different shades of blue, and blue in the front and yellow in the back, or vice versa.
Okay,
with gray numbers.
Yeah, I'll take the bad jersey if there's winning hockey. I'll deal with the jersey if there's winning hockey. Failing winning hockey, make me happy with the look.
But you can have both.
Really? Are
this
you
is
sure?
One of those, this is one
I
of those
don't think I can.
Hundreds of times where
no, I don't think
we
so.
Say, what would you rather have, this or this? You know, Skinner or Kessel?
I think we're asking
for
too much.
How about both? Skinner or Duchesne?
Actually,
I'll take both.
It's funny. You know, you and I were talking a little bit about Kessel on the show yesterday, and over the course of the segment, I said to you, I think I'm convincing myself to actually go get Kessel. And then I was listening to the Instigators a little bit, and they're going through their board and guys they're interested in. And at some point, I think it was Craig Revey, at some point he says to Andrew, what about having Kessel and Skinner? What about re-signing Skinner and then trading for Phil Kessel? And now look at your top six. Now your top six includes Eichel, Reinhardt, Skinner, Kessel. And then who else? Who knows? Maybe it's Olofsson. You know, we like what we saw from him at the end of the season. But what about doing both? They certainly have the cap room to do both. Maybe you could do both if you did a shorter-term deal, whether you do a longer or shorter for Skinner. Maybe it is Skinner on a shorter-term deal for 2-3 years, and you get Kessel for 3 more years. What about doing both and really giving a boost to your top six? Keeping your goal scorer, your leading goal scorer, and adding a guy who hopefully gets you a point a game.
Get as many good players as you can.
So I wonder if Bottrell could pull both off this offseason.
Well, what do you have to trade to get Kessel, Phil Kessel?
Right.
Do you trade Ristolainen?
Yeah, what do they need?
And Olofsson?
Right, what are they looking for?
I'm just throwing names.
Revisionist history, but Brayton and I were talking about this after the show. Pittsburgh Penguins, Oscar Sundquist for Ryan Reeves. What?
That's a GM that has won back-to-back cups.
We sit here talking about the Ryan O'Reilly trade and woof. Oscar Sundquist for Ryan Reeves. What were the Penguins? And they threw a pick in, too.
Honestly,
right?
What happened is...
What were they thinking?
I want to read you something else here. What happened was the Penguins thought, we have to get tougher.
But come on!
We have to get tougher because you know how it works. You need to be tough.
In the playoffs, you need guys who can grind, right?
Right.
So let's give away an offensive skill player for a guy who's... What?
While we're on that topic of you've got to be tough, Bruce Cassidy, head coach of the Boston Bruins, talking about how... He has changed his thinking on the game. An area of the game he has changed his thinking on thanks to analytics. Quote the coach of the Bruins.
Is a coach of the Bruins allowed to say anything that goes anti-toughness? I assume that's where you're going.
He says, probably the neutral zone defense. I was always wanting to protect the blue line.
Oh, okay.
But maybe not aggressively as we do now. Because the data has kind of showed us that more offensive opportunities or better offensive opportunities come from when you have control of the puck going over the blue line. Hmm. The Bruins, they're not, you know, Jason Bottrell said this with us on Friday when we talked to him. We asked, are you allowed to say who you think is going to win the cup? and I was glad to hear him say these aren't your usual Bruins. Mm-hmm. The Bruins have been
puck-carrying defensemen.
Right, the Bruins have been big and tough mm-hmm. forever. And what the Bruins are now, they're similar to Carolina, who they just beat. It's puck-carrying, puck-moving defensemen.
Yeah.
They are the Bruins are exactly what the modern day NHL is. They are not smash you into the boards and you know punch you in the face and hit you that way.
Right.
So what happened to the Penguins? They won back-to-back cups, and then they had their worst year in a long time and got swept in the first round. Somehow they went to the offseason after winning the Stanley Cup and said, we've got to get tough.
Yeah, it's just an overreaction, you know, and I just don't understand, you know, if we're going to look at them as a model organization, and yes, you can get in your cynical, sarcastic thought about a model organization that happened to be at the top of the draft because they were winning lotteries or were just sucking, but a model organization that wins all the time and has, what, three cups in the last 10 years? I just don't know how they made a move like that. It's just really strange to think about that trade. That was an awful deal. Anyway, I thought of it because we're talking about what would Pittsburgh want for the Buffalo from the Sabres if they were trying to acquire Phil Kessel. Hey, maybe Jason Botchel can rip off his old boss because that guy traded Oscar Sundquist for mm-hmm. Ryan Reeves. You want what do you want? Gergensen's and Larson, I think, is a fair deal for Kessel.
Hey, don't forget the first-round pick that was thrown in that Ryan Reeves deal, too.
That's right.
So you traded Sundquist and a first-rounder for Ryan Reeves.
Well, I mean, what are you doing for toughness?
And that first-rounder is going to be pretty good. Klim Kostin is a pretty good prospect.
It's just mind-boggling. So, yeah, make a trade with that guy. Give him some grinders for Phil Kessel. And hey, Pittsburgh, you don't even have to pick up any of the contract. We'll take the full load. I think the Leafs actually are covering like $1.2 million of it. But here, we'll give you some grinders, and you send us some talent and skill, and I'd be very happy with that deal. 803-0550 to join us this morning. We opened up talking a little bit about Josh Allen this morning, and what's a good year, year number two for Josh Allen. You can share your thoughts on that. And as I said, if there's anything else you want to get to, you want to talk Stanley Cup playoffs, that's fine, too. Joe, on Josh Allen, is he a franchise quarterback or not? Close to 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns would be great. Not sure it's possible in the McDermott JV high school offense that we will see. Also, would like to see him start 16 games and show improvement each week from week 1 to 17. I don't know what to make of the McDermott offense.
Imagine if
yet.
A guy did show improvement from week 1 to week 17.
Wow, but
week
1
was 220 yards. Week 2,
230. Increments of 10 yards.
By week 17, like, man, he's got to get 497 yards today. Or
and
else,
five touchdowns.
Or else we can't say he improved from weeks 1 to 17.
Yeah. I don't know what to
right. Yeah. September's one touchdown games. October is two touchdown games.
Oh, I see. You're going by month, not game by
game.
Well,
I'm going game by game, but you can't say every game has more touchdowns in this scenario.
Okay, because I was going to say, if you're going to do that, then he throws four touchdowns in the first month, eight in the second month. I got to do math. Then 12, and then 16 in the final month of the season, which would be pretty impressive. I don't know what to make of the offense. I think in some respects, the whole McDermott and Dable and what they want to do can be based on what they're getting out of Josh Allen. You know, you said it earlier. Look, an offensive coordinator designs an offense or has an idea how he wants it to run, and if they have a quarterback who's the, quote, manage the game kind of guy, well, they're going to tailor their offense accordingly. So, you know, what the Bills want to do, run the ball, pass the ball, run pass ratio, all this stuff, you know, a lot of it can be what kind of strides does Josh Allen make and how good does he look in terms of throwing the football, handling the passing offense, making the decisions. I would not categorically tell you that it's a JV high school offense that wants to run the ball 40 times. I think it does want to be. They do want a passing offense. They just have to figure out if they have a quarterback who can handle a passing offense. Last season, not so much. This is the whole point of the discussion this year. They added all these things on offense so they could do what? I don't think they added all these things on offense to be the number one rushing team in the NFL. I hope not. I think they added all these things on offense to create a real NFL passing offense at some point with the guy they drafted to be their franchise quarterback, not to have Josh run for 800 yards and boast this fantastic running game, even though I know it's Buffalo, it's cold, and supposedly you have to be able to run the football in December. Robert tweeted in, 37-75 passing, 23 touchdowns, 4 rushing TDs. Oh, yeah, even threw in one fumble loss. Boy, that's getting into details. That is really going to the nth degree.
How
with
do you
the
feel about
line.
It if it's a fumble, but it's not lost?
He's allowed to have fumble up not more than 4.
Oh, wow.
You know, he can get blindside sacked, and that's a fumble. You know, I mean, so he's allowed to have fumbles, but none lost. Have an offensive lineman pick it up. So we're getting all your stat lines in. 4,000 pass yards and 1,000 rush yards. Hey, man, if he does that, that's a hell of a season. 45. This is fun. Thank you very much for making my morning. 45 total touchdowns. If the Bills get that, then the guy says 11 wins. If he has 45 touchdowns, I think they have more than 11 wins. With what we think will be a really good defense.
I think that's safe.
45 touchdowns out of your quarterback position, you're getting more than 11 wins.
The defense is really going to have to be a problem.
You're losing 35-31. You might beat out New England for the division if he has 4,000 yards and 45 total touchdowns.
You will definitely beat out New England.
Right?
45 touchdowns.
Imagine that.
How do I make that bet?
Yeah.
What's the parlay on that?
That's a lot of touchdowns. I would bet the under on that one. I think 45 is just dreamish.
One quick thing from Liam. He said, everyone thinks Eli had a poor season last year. He threw for 4,400 yards. And if Allen throws for that, I'm ecstatic. And I think that's a fair point. What that is a testament to just how bad the Bills have been at throwing the ball.
Yeah,
the Giants were terrible, and Manning has largely been considered to be washed up, and they're just sleepwalking to 4,400 yards.
Well, you'd think your passing yards, if you were bad and you're always playing from behind, your passing yard should be better because you're throwing the ball all the time to get caught up in football games.
Eli had 42.99.
42?
42.99.
And the Bills have had one 4,000-yard season ever.
Was the year that they missed Beckham? Did Beckham miss 2017, most of 2017? Because looking at Eli Manning's numbers, and this is something about Baker Mayfield and the Browns, you know, for a little bit there when we were debating Sammy and Odell Beckham, there was Beckham has a quarterback, right? And Eli's numbers, and just making sure that 2017 was the year that Beckham did not play a lot.
He played four games in 2017.
Okay. So you tell me one of these is not like the other, right? Odell Beckham, since he came into the league, here are Eli Manning's yardages. 4,400, 4,000, 3,400, 4,299.
Hmm.
Any one of those jump out?
Yeah.
3,400.
Without Odell.
He went down from 35 touchdowns, 26 touchdowns to last year, or to the year without Beckham, 19.
Wow.
And Beckham...
Even last year, Beckham missed four games last year, by the way.
Yeah, and he was 21 touchdowns. So, I mean, I would think without Beckham on the field, Manning's going to drop considerably. And I think what Beckham's going to do for Baker Mayfield, that's the biggest reason I'm buying on the Browns. Baker was good in his rookie season. The defense is solid. And Odell Beckham is about as game-changing a player as there is that doesn't play quarterback.
You look at his first 3 years with the Giants, Beckham, he would have had a little over 4,000 yards receiving and 35 touchdowns in his first 3 years. And he also missed five games in his first 3 years and still had 4,100 yards and 35
straight
touchdowns.
Seasons of double-digit touchdowns.
Eye-popping numbers for him in that offense. Let's get to Jeff in Kenmore. Jeff, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey. There's talk about McDermott and Allen. I mean, my whole issue is I think McDermott knows the team. He knows they didn't have receivers that were catching the ball. The run game was terrible. And so who did Allen really have to throw to that was reliable? And plus, he was a rookie. So to me, I don't put it on McDermott. I mean, people complain that he's conservative and doesn't want to go on fourth down, doesn't want to go for it. He knew he had a terrible offense as far as receivers being able to make a play or running backs being able to even get it a few yards within the first three downs, let alone trust him on fourth down. So to me, I don't think he's very conservative. I think he knows what he had, and he trusts his defense more than his offense. Now this year, we should see a different McDermott, and that's what I believe.
Yeah, Jeff, I think that's a totally fair case to make, and I think you're right when you say we get to find out this year. You know, would they still be conservative? Will they still be a run-heavy team? It's very possible. I might tell you I still expect it, but you're right. There's the 3 years in, there are no more excuses or no more reasons to be a conservative offense if you don't want to be a conservative offense.
See, if
this year they're still conservative,
yeah,
then they're still bringing him along slowly, and they're still – you know, it might be a testament to how they want to play. They've spent the first 3 years building up a defense. So to me, I think everything Jeff says is very fair.
Yeah.
And if you think they're going to kind of, you know, throttle up, this is the year to see it happen.
I think they'll throttle up. And it might be, you might have to phrase it this way. Okay, Josh Allen, show us why we should throttle up. You know, like, well, we want to throttle up, but you've got to show us you can handle it. And if you can't, hey, we got a really good defense. We'll try and run the ball. We'll manage the game. We'll play whatever.
It's not that different from how we did this with Tyrod Taylor. And I'm not making a comparison between the two players, but year one with Tyrod was, all right, let's throttle up to year two and see what happens. And two games in, they fired his coordinator, and they throttled right back down.
Right.
And then McDermott got here, and then they just, you know, they landed that thing altogether.
Yeah. No, they were supposed to. I don't think they want to be a run-based offense. I really don't.
You don't?
No.
I do.
I hope not.
I hope
you're wrong.
I do think that's what
they
want.
I think it's a really bad idea.
I think they want to be the Seahawks. I think they want to be the Steelers of early Ben.
Yeah.
I'm not here to tell you that can't win.
Well, the Seahawks won with early.
Right.
And so did the Steelers
but
with early
I do
Ben,
think so. They want to be run heavy.
They're waiting to see what their quarterback can do.
I mean, McDermott coming from Carolina, weren't they, even with Cam Newton, weren't they a pretty heavy run team?
Yeah. I think, but Newton would have thrown the ball more than Tyrod threw the ball.
He threw a lot, right.
So I think there are still games in Seattle where, much as you talk about their running game, and you do have a quarterback who can be part of the running game, where there were games where they just said, okay, Russell, you got to win the game for us with your passing arm, and he was able to do that. I do believe the Bills want to get to that point. I think I'm going to live with the running idea is based in part on what do you got at quarterback. As the caller just pointed out, McDermott knew they didn't really have a scary passing game. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. Let us get you a code word because we're playing our national win cash contest all this week. First code word of the day is Apple, APPLE. You can text that right now, 72881. You have until 8 o'clock to send the word in. Apple, 72881. Message and data rates may apply. It is your chance to win $1,000 in our national win cash contest. You can join us with your Josh Allen thoughts. What's a good year for him, in your opinion? 803-0550. We'll tackle a little hockey when we get back, too. Paul Hamilton is on the way next on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Paul Hamilton.
I googled it on Twitter. I thought maybe, you know, I'd ask fans.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
It's so positive, and you know, people are so happy to put their names on everything they write.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Bit of breaking news. Adam Schefter just reporting that the Bills have extended Jerry Hughes for 2 more years. Up to $23 million, includes a $19.5 million guarantee. So Jerry Hughes extended by the Bills, $19.5 million out of $23 million guaranteed.
And depending on how it's structured, right? 2 years up to 23, so the cap number shouldn't be far from where he is now. He's at 10.4 for the coming season. You know, and we were just talking, you know, he's going to be 31 this year, so 30. I think Shaq Lawson's not coming back in 2020 unless he has a big year. I think they would walk away from Trent Murphy if he can't stay healthy like last year. So I think they wanted to make sure they kept a defensive end around. And 2 years, I think, is about as far as you'd be willing to go. He'll be 33 in the final year of the contract. So I like it. I'm glad he's sticking around, and it's a shorter-term deal, which is fine. It's not a big, long contract, and it sounds like the cap number's in line where he has been under the current contract. 803-0550 to join us on Josh Allen, Jerry Hughes. You can give your thoughts on the extension. But on our Western Hotline right now, talk a little hockey with us, is our very own Paul Hamilton. He is going to be joining us and brought to you by Los Inganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Paul, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I am good, Paul. Thank you for asking. Jeff Skinner, let's start there, Mr. Hamilton. So, you know, there, Jeremy, what was the site that tweeted out the contract?
Evolving Wild did some contract projections and put him at 8 years at $8.5 million per season.
Well, first off, I guess let me start with, if he resigns, Paul, would you expect it to be the maximum term? You know, the extra year that the Sabres can offer that nobody else can.
I would think, yeah, it would be an 8-year deal. And as far as 8.5, yeah, I think that's a shade high, but also I think it's a deal that I would agree to. I mean, when you're taking unrestricted free agency away from a player, you're going to have to overpay a little bit. And I think that's maybe a slight overpayment, but I still think it's a fair contract and one that if I were the Sabres, I would agree to.
What about, would it be possible, or would you think the Sabres would consider, or Skinner would consider, a shorter term? Would the Sabres want to go, hey, you know, let's go 2 years and see how things work out, or 3 years? And if they did, would Skinner want any part of a shorter deal and then think, let me get a couple more years and then I hit the market again? What about that?
I think the Sabres absolutely would want a shorter term deal if they could get it.
But he wouldn't.
And Skinner, I think, would not want that. I think he wants to max out this deal. And again, when you're talking about unrestricted free agency of a guy who's normally a 30-goal scorer, who scored 40 this year, you know, this is his time. This is his time to make money. It wouldn't make any sense to him to sign a 3-4 year deal, get himself over 30 years old, and then you know, he's not going to get that kind of money. Likely, mm-hmm. not going to get that kind of money in 3 or 4 years. So for him, I mean, it wouldn't make any sense to do a short term deal. It's not in his best interest. He's got nothing to prove, and he's just going to get older.
What do you think about Phil Kessel, Paul?
I think Phil Kessel's been a great player for many, many years. And my first reaction is no, I probably wouldn't be interested, but I could absolutely listen to the conversation.
You sound like me yesterday with Jeremy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did the same thing over the course of one segment.
I could listen to the argument of somebody wanting to have him around.
Yeah.
But, you know, his age definitely makes you nervous. I mean, when does the decline start? It hasn't for him really yet. Maybe goals-wise, maybe a little bit. He was down 27 goals, but, you know, he certainly the points were there. And I said yesterday when I was talking to Bulldog about it, I said, all I would say is be careful.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. Be careful with that kind of an acquisition. Certainly that's not going to help Casey Mittelstadt realize that he needs to get in elite shape. You know, with him hanging around, but it's worked for him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's fine, right? I mean, he's he's not chiseled, but he seems to be just fine.
Yeah, I mean, he's never been in elite shape probably since college, but he's carved out a pretty good NHL career, so it's worked for him.
Yeah, I was worried about, you know, right, 3 years left for a guy who's, you know, what I forget what his age is right now, but 3 years left on term, 6.8. But as we were talking about it yesterday, and I've been a fan of Kessel. I liked the idea when Toronto was getting rid of him, hey, go get Kessel. He's very productive. I was worried about term and age, but man, if you stop and think, if they re-sign Skinner and they add a guy like Kessel, now what are you looking at in your top six next year? It's looking good.
Yeah, if they re-sign Skinner and bring in a guy like Kessel, you probably could do that. And it probably is looking good. But as I said, when does the decline start? And is he excited to be a Sabre? You know, is he looking at that in his career? Because, you know, when the Sabres get really, really good, if they get really, really good, is Phil Kessel even going to be around, you know, when that happens? And that's when you're acquiring somebody like that, that's what you have to look at. When does the decline start? And are they Stanley Cup contenders next year? Likely not. I mean, you never say never. But likely
pause there,
not.
Though, huh? You yeah. pause for
what
drama.
What are you trying to tell me here?
You know, so by the time you become Stanley Cup contenders, is Phil Kessel even around then?
Well, if he helped you get there, I would take it. But one thing about this, Paul, Kessel is on the older side. Skinner is on the older side, you know? And when we talked to Jason Bottrell on Friday about all this, he either said it with us or he said it in the press conference. At one point he said, look, we're building for the future. And I don't think he meant it as, I need a lot of time for this. But I wonder about a guy like Kessel. You know, the two seasons that Bottrell has had so far have been bad. And how much pressure does he feel to put a good product on the ice and not only do that, but win a trade?
You're talking about the comment about long term. It was about Paul's question about trading, and he said we're in this for the long term.
For the long term, okay.
Yeah.
So Kessel has 3 years. Maybe it doesn't have to even be Kessel, but a guy like that. I wonder, after a year where they cleaned out the room, if they would be thinking, well, Phil Kessel might not be great in there, but who cares? We've got to score goals. We've got to win games at all costs. I mean, it's not about the rental scenario, but he's got to bring in good players, and he's got to show that as the GM of the team that he knows what he's doing and he can win a trade and he can bring in great players, especially if Skinner walks, because then what's his best acquisition? Lawrence Pilot? You know, like that's not too hot.
Yeah, I mean, even if Skinner walks, he won the trade. I mean, the 1 year you got out of him because you gave up a guy who got traded again for nothing. He got traded for future considerations.
Right, but I mean that trade was an easy one to make. And if you end up losing Skinner to free agency.
Whoa, what do you mean it was an easy one to make?
I mean, it was a very easy trade to make. You gave up nothing to a player.
You gave up nothing, but I don't know if the negotiation was easy.
Well, the player specifically had his choice of where to go.
I mean, we can't sit here and say, well, all the bad trades were hard trades, and I mean, that to me, that's I can't buy that. What do you mean it's an easy trade to make?
I mean, every GM in the league would have made it.
Well, sure.
It was a dump from Carolina, and the O'Reilly trade was not an easy trade to make, no matter where he was going to make it, because I think – here's what I'm saying, Paul. In both scenarios, with Skinner, the Hurricanes were up against it, right? They knew they wanted to move him out, so they probably took less than they could have. And with O'Reilly, it was hard for Botchel to make that trade because he knows he's going to move him out. He had decided to do that, so maybe just because of that, he loses some leverage. So all I'm saying is that the Sabres – on the Skinner side of the trade, we're taking the dump off from the other team. That's all I'm saying. When I say it was easy, if Carolina calls you and asks, you know, what do you put together for Skinner, and they accept that, you know, you're doing a dance in your office.
Oh, sure. But still, the thing is, I mean, even if he walks, you've still won the trade. Even as poorly as I think Sherry worked out, again, you didn't give up much for him. I mean, for what you gave up for him, did you win that trade? I don't know. I mean, so, but anyway, I mean, I've actually lost track now. Where were we?
I was simply saying that I wonder if Botchel feels like a Kessel. You would acquire a guy who's 30 or 31 because you did just acquire Skinner. That was only for 1 year, though. I mean, I'd imagine if Skinner had multiple years on his deal, it would have taken more to get him. So that was part of what made it such a cheap deal. If you don't re-sign him, the best player that Botchel has acquired, you maybe Sherry, maybe Pilot. I'm trying to think of who it even is. Brandon Montour. Okay, thank you. Matthew tweeted that. Oh, yeah. Might be Montour, might be his biggest acquisition. And I think he would go to this offseason looking to make a splash and you're never going to undo the O'Reilly trade. And again, it still might turn out that Tage Thompson plays for this team for 10 years. But I think that there is pressure on Botchel to do something substantive from a talent standpoint, bringing in a name, bringing in someone with term that can be a difference maker.
Yeah, if he can. As I said, I mean, his age makes me nervous. And I guess we can go back to Kyle Oposo, who was produced with the Islanders. And then, you know, he signed a deal with the Sabres, and he's hit 30 years old and has kind of hit a wall, you know, when does that wall hit? And that's what I think he has to look at. You bring in a name, but if all of a sudden that name hits a wall when he gets here, it makes him look worse. That trade's going to look worse than maybe some of the other ones, depending on what you gave up to get him. So I probably would be looking elsewhere, you know, to do that. Whether it might be signing a Duchesne to see if you can do that, and I was figuring that out last year. You know, that would, between him and Skinner, if you get them both, that's about $17-18 million off your cap, and you would still have to sign maybe three guys:
yeah.
McCabe, Ullmark, and Rodriguez. Which I think you could. It would leave you about $7-8 million to do that, and I think you could get that done.
I'm glad you mentioned Duchesne. This is kind of my point on Kessel. Duchesne's a guy that has been moved in the past because of locker room, right? And I wonder if the Sabres are snake bitten by moving a guy out, O'Reilly, because of a locker room thing. And now Botchel would think, screw it, whatever. He's good. I'll trust in Ralph Krueger to handle this. You know, he's got his coach. Will he be more willing to get a guy like Duchesne, who for whatever reason has kind of carried that baggage around with him, the same way that O'Reilly did, the same way that Kessel has? You know, it's not exactly that they're necessarily bad people, but somewhere along the way, Evander Kane, you know, the names on this list, they often tend to be pretty darn good players, and somewhere along the way they rub someone the wrong way or something just kind of falls apart.
No, absolutely. I think I don't know if Duchesne would be as high in that, but yeah, definitely. And I think he's proven recently that he's been fine. I think he fit in well in Columbus. I think he fit in even with the controversy that happened in Ottawa when the Uber driver, you know, blew those guys in. That didn't even really hurt him that much. I think most people realize that that's the way people talk, whether it's an athlete or whether it's a guy at the bank or whether it's a guy at the radio station or a guy at the golf course or whatever. People talk sometimes, and you know, it's usually not broadcast on the internet through an Uber driver. So that, I don't think that hurt him that much in Ottawa from a reputation standpoint.
This is Paul's way of telling us what he says
about us to Uber drivers.
Privately.
No, wait a minute. How could I call an Uber? You forgot what I carry in my pocket.
Yeah, you got a flip phone. It probably can't even, you can't even order an Uber ride with your phone. Circa 1980, whatever the heck it is. Thanks, Paul. Always nice to have you on the show. Paul Hamilton and his old cell phone, brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. All right, we'll get a quick break in. Chris Brown coming up top of the hour. Sal's going to join us at 8:30 as well as we talk about the breaking news from the Bills. Jerry Hughes, according to Adam Schefter, ESPN.com, signing or at least agreeing to a 2-year contract extension. So we'll talk more about that coming up in a moment. WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Quick thought. We're going to talk more about Jerry Hughes with Chris Brown. Quick thought, Jeremy, with the Hughes extension for a couple of years.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like Shaq Lawson is not going to stay.
He's not long for the Bills' world.
I would like to pencil in that the Bills' first-round pick next year will be a defensive end.
Right, because you're looking at Shaq, Hughes, Murphy, Eddie Yarbrough, and Mike Love, I think, are your top five defensive ends at this point.
Book it.
Yeah.
First-round defensive
pretty
end.
Safe bet, yeah.
Yeah, I had a texter a moment ago talk about the Bills next year will be hunting for a stud receiver, and I'd love it, but I just think it's more likely
pass rusher.
Their defensive end numbers are kind of thin.
Down. Yeah, right.
And Hughes staying is good news because he still produces. And there was a tweet from Mike Tannenbaum, who is formerly of the Dolphins, right?
Jets, too.
Jets, okay.
He was Jets GM. Yeah.
He said, Hughes has become an excellent pass rusher. He was always the first guy we had to prepare for playing the Bills twice a year. Drawing double teams, he also creates production for his teammates. So, you know, keep Hughes good and help transition to the next guy. Like Ed Oliver this year Next year, I bet it's somebody else on that defensive line.
And it's a shorter term, too, which is nice. It's not a long-term deal. It's a couple years after this. So he's under contract now for 2019, 2020, 2021. We'll see if Sean McDermott talks about that later this morning. 11 o'clock, he will meet with the media down in Orchard Park prior to the OTA practice. Sal will be on hand for that. Sal's going to join us, talk more about this at 8:30. We will talk about Bills matters when we get back. In addition to Sal, Chris Brown is coming up next, lead journalist, BuffaloBills.com. We'll get his thoughts on Jerry Hughes and all of the OTA information that you need to know. Coverage of Bills OTAs on WGR is presented by Mr. Tire Auto Service Centers. Experience better. The lowest prices, the brands you trust, right around the corner.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.